Hello and welcome to the Carbitrage Podcast, episode 3.14. I'm Eric Berger, joined as always by my co-host Ryan Sinitsky. Hello.
Hi, that's me. I have a beer.
Oh, sorry. I'm going to do that real quick. My bad.
Hi, that's me.
I
have a beer now.
Lovely to hear the deeper tone of your voice.
I had the microphone away from me because I was off air showing Eric black metal music, which he'd apparently never really heard or understood.
Well, I just don't understand. I mean, I'm aware of metal, but I mean, you taught me 15 years ago, like, no, metal isn't metal.
Yeah,
like,
no,
there's
so many
word.
Subgenres.
It's like calling car car.
Yeah, like, no, it's... No. So black metal is specifically a it's not all Scandinavian, it came from Scandinavia, but it's,
me too.
Elitists will call it true metal, but,
and those are people I do not like.
I got to the gate and I was turned away.
Yeah. Extremists are awful.
In almost every sense. Yes.
But, or not extremists, elitists, same thing. Because they're also usually extremists of one way or another. Like, yes.
Can we start a group that's manual extremist jerks?
Oh, that'd be actually great. But anyway, so if you're wondering what black metal is, just take your headphones halfway out of the port and get that bad ground sound.
Run it through a distortion pedal.
Yeah. I guess I could just, if we had a spare microphone, I could just take the audio in and just rub my finger up against it. And no, I'm not going to do that everyone. Right. But yeah,
black metal. Let the record show. I just turned on the fourth microphone and pointed to it for Ryan.
Yes. And so black metal basically just sounds like static.
It does. I listened to it from your phone, through the microphone, through the mixer,
and there was no loss in fidelity. That's how it sounds, regardless of what speaker you listen to it through.
That's like if you were really, really out of it and you were listening to radio static while driving, like, I swear I heard something in there that wasn't just static.
Yep, that's exactly how it sounds. Yep.
Exactly how it sounds.
Yeah. No, I actually was in the car with my friend Isaac, who's very much so into black metal once. And I was between radio stations, and I had it on very low.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, oh, did you get an aux input on your car? And oh, I didn't know the radio was on. I'm sorry. No, I just had the radio on, like, 87.9, and I had it on, like, volume 2, and it sounded like I was listening to Immortal at low volume.
87.9, where there is no 87.9.
There's never an 87.9.
There's an 87.8.
There's never, ever an 87.9. And I didn't any... Like, no, any market, no market ever did 87.9, I'm pretty sure.
I think you're right, even in other countries. Yeah.
Like, well, I mean, like, we have it. That's the lowest dial that you have. But I don't think, I've never heard an actual station on 87.9.
God, the FM modulator station.
Yeah.
Just go troll every market and put an FM modulator radio station on there.
Well, did
playing death black metal.
Did I ever tell you about when I worked at BP? There's this guy who, like, really, like, genuinely... unironically loved Nickelback. He listened to 93X
all the
time.
Yes, actually, yes.
And so I got...
I remember cringing for you during these stories.
Yeah, I got a FM modulator for my phone. And I put the FM modulator like right next to the radio underneath all of the shop towels. And I set it to 93.7, which is like the Nickelback station in the Twin Cities.
93X was?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know
and
that.
And so what I was playing over my phone was like... Bhangra music and like Punjabi pop music, like Indian music.
Okay, cool.
And he comes to work, he turns the radio on to 87.9, and it's like doo 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 da da da. And it's
Oh, you're playing Tuluk Tuluk?
Yeah, like Dollar Mindy and other things.
That's still on my playlist.
And he's like, "What the heck happened to 93X?" I'm like, "Oh, dude, didn't you hear they reformatted?"
The mind games. My God.
I'm extremely good at gaslighting people.
I can tell.
And for the entire day, he listened to KQRS, which is the classic rock station. It was great. And he got back in his car and he found out that I'd been lying to him all day.
Did he come back in or did he just talk to you day?
The rest of the time, he just made sure that the FM modulator. But I had one day in which I didn't have to listen to Nickelback. Anyway, what's...
Tremendous.
Yes, we have a guest this time.
We do. So... Our guest I'm going to say this month, but like we haven't had a guest in over a year. So
yes.
Today we have Bricklin on. Hello.
Hi, Bricklin.
Hi.
Most notably known for wearing Carmunity merch, repping it.
Yes. Helping out at the booth. And
No, we'll get into all the standard questions
keeping the wheels on the ground while at shows and
we
stuff.
Will soon illustrate that all the legwork actually happens right here. But before we get into our guest spot standard questions... Patreon.com/Carbitrage on this super cool handcrafted Patreon page, you're going to find three count them three. Open-ended levels of support starting at just 99 cents a month. Patreon.com/garbitrage. I've got a hams, but I'm going to need to grab another one here in a moment.
I have a hams, and excellent. I've got plenty of hams.
Well, I started early. My bad. But anyway, Bricklin, welcome to the Garbitrage Podcast. I know you're a long-time listener, but a first-time patron of the actual studio. So
yes,
welcome.
Actually.
And long-time listeners of the show will know that we have a very standardized set of first questions, but they have been lightly edited today because although Bricklin is indeed in the car community.
Though I am curious, what would you get from California if you had $3,000 and brought it back to Minnesota to offset the cost of your trip?
Like, honestly,
what would you Google? I've never asked this to a normal person.
If,
like,
hypothetically, you were in California and you got there with no ahead planning for a vehicle, which is absurd in your position, I understand. But it was $2,000 to rent a car for 3 days or something like that, and you could buy one for $1,000. What would you search?
What would a normal person type in? Like,
I don't know if I'm a normal person, though.
Yeah, you can count relative to car people.
I would probably see what crazy vintage shit was available.
Just type in
vintage
under
cars. Like
$3,000
and below.
$3,000 and below. And then
just do
like,
low to high.
And then, yeah, and then like...
Perfect.
Year 1990 and older and see what you can find.
Oh, I'm really tempted to do that right now in California on Facebook
and see
what happens.
Yeah, so like you're like 1980 and older.
Yeah, like, and see what just would be available.
This is how like people end up as a service advisor and then like some like crazy like just lady like comes in off the road like, I am driving a 1949 Packard across the country. And I don't know what's wrong. It won't start. And
do you
like,
have
did,
a radiator?
Did you
my water?
Did you do any prep work? No. I just bought this car. It was, okay.
And I got in and I turned it on and I drove.
And now it doesn't work. And then you're like, well, okay, cool. And now there's a service advisor like panicking and emergency fixing a 1949 Packard that's broken down in front of their shop.
So I went to losangeles.craigslist.com.
Yes.
Or org, I guess. Sorry. Yeah, and I typed in cars vintage sorted by $3,000. And let's see if we can sort by filter options. But the first thing that showed up was 91 Dojiban.
Hey, there you go. That's
for
$3,000.
Solid that's
one.
Actually yeah, that's interesting. But
so you can actually, that's how a normal person would do this.
I can't filter by low to high, unfortunately, but there's also a, you're welcome to try there, but it's interesting. I'm liking the perspective.
Oh, there you go. A Jaguar XJS convertible. That's $10.
No. Oh, I'm not
clearly,
driving a Jag.
Clearly not $10,000. No, the only Jag that you're going to get is this one right here, which looks like nothing but a bad time. Yep, here we go. This one's actually, wow, that's actually, this also is genuinely actually what I would get in 2024 coming back from Los Angeles for
$3,000. Oh, I kind of like
XJT.
That.
What is an XJT?
I have no idea. I think it's just a typo. It's a XJ6 because the T is right below 6.
Runs great. Pink slip and hand clean title, 6 cylinders ready to
also,
go.
Also, do you see what the registration was? 2024, it means that it passed smog.
Wow. Whoa.
So, and then if you look at the mileage on that,
that's actually not a bad deal.
That's a car. That's something I would actually buy.
Maybe
Bricklin is
maybe
buying a Jaguar XJ6.
Very blurry one.
Which is, it's clearer than that, I promise.
But. Why don't you on your phone access the notes?
Ooh, that's a good
and
idea.
And then you could paste it in the notes and put it on the actual screen.
I should not have used my work phone for this.
Yep. Oop. Well, you can also...
I might
message it to me or something, but ooh, we have ways of getting this from your phone onto this monitor.
And I will work on that. I promise I will.
In the meantime, while you're doing that, let's move forward. So
we have other questions. So yes
we do. First off, slow car fast or fast car slow?
Oh, given that I have seen many issues with both, I would probably go with fast car slow.
Oh, that's the wrong answer.
That's
I'm
wrong
sorry.
Answer.
That's actually
I've seen. I've been
answer.
In too many slow cars fast, and then things break.
Well, you see, the thing is, a fast car slow is just idling a supercar around.
I don't care. Like
that
it's not even
it
a supercar
too.
Though. Like I'm thinking of like custom stuff that you can get to go fast, but you want to drive it slow to baby it for a bit.
I could see in the case of like a hot rod built in the 90s or something where it has like a 700 horsepower big block and
that's still originally a slow car.
True.
A hot rod is still a slow car fast.
True. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. So like a fast car slow is like buying a McLaren MP4 12C and then commuting. And then commuting in it.
Oh,
ew, nah.
So this is a good Jag.
So anyway, this is Bricklin's Jag.
Which is actually
running
genuinely with no check engine light.
Wow.
Wow.
I would,
and it is a 97, so it would have that.
Oh my God, yes, that's actually a really, really solid car. That's,
the alternator's working?
Yep. The seats. That's I'm okay with. I will take a destroyed set of seats.
This is a stinky car. It's fine.
Yeah, no, that would be a really solid. Oh, it's a long wheelbase, too. Wait a minute. Keep going. Show us the back seats. Are there photos of the back seats?
Yes, there were. Oh, it's got some damage on the door.
This is a stinky Jaguar. It's a $3,000 Jaguar that runs and drives.
Whoa,
and it's perfect.
4 litre.
That's the engine that you... That's
there,
engine.
It is. There it is.
Oh, it doesn't have the picnic tables. No.
No.
Or the heated rear seat. Double no. But that's inline six that was available.
How dare you pick this car?
That's the inline six that was available in the Aston Martin's, the DB7.
DB7?
Yeah.
Nice.
So
it looks. I remember we were at the St. Paul Cars.
Yeah. And we were both like, oh.
That's a huge engine.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes. Okay. So good.
So that's a cool car. Yeah.
So
good
Bricklin
job.
Picked an XJ6. Interesting. Okay.
All right. Now
she
let's talk
said
about
slow car fast. That's the correct answer.
After being corrected.
Correct. Yep, that's fine.
There is a correct answer and a wrong answer. And the wrong answer is fast car slow. It's a really solid litmus test of like, we'll give you a pass because you're not like a full-on car person.
Yeah.
You're car adjacent.
Well, I removed a couple questions in there too. I was like, tell us about your car. That's why
yeah.
I changed it.
And so,
tell us about your cat.
Yeah. And so like the thing is like with car people, like specifically, that's like a very good question because it kind of tells you everything you need to know. Like, is this the sort of person that actually has like interesting cars that are cool? Or are they the sort of person that just like is in it to be like a hype lord?
Oh, so you're talking about the ampersand C people. Got it.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, let's talk about cats.
Tell us about your cats.
Well, technically, I only have one because the other one is technically.
Tell us about the cats that live in the same place that you do, please.
Well, ours are Turbo and Gigi.
Yeah, it's very good.
And Gigi is very much mine, and he will only come out to certain people.
Not me.
No, he comes out to Ryan, though.
Yes. It's because I took him to the hospital once.
Buddy.
Yeah, he recognizes you with safety.
Buddy. He's such a handsome buddy.
He is a chonker.
Oh, yes.
16
Gigi.
Pounds.
Very dark, very thick.
But he's a smoked tabby, so he's a rare breed. Of a coloration of cat. He's not a full black cat.
Does he smell like bro cooking if he's smoked?
Ha, ha.
Get it? Because the smoker is like a Traeger and Maple Grove?
Oof.
And then Turbo? I know he's technically Dan's cat, but...
Yeah.
He's a pirate parrot?
Sorry, there's this house I always see on Penn Avenue in Bloomington.
Yep. I've drove by that for years, going to confirmation.
Look how insane the inside of it is.
Why is there a heart tub?
The bathtub is a heart. The living room is a pool. They have a go-kart inside.
Was this used for extracurricular activities?
No,
it
was always,
extracurricular.
It always had a BMW Z3 parked in front of it in the 90s.
Yes, and now there's a Model T that also parks there,
oh
and
my
a Corvette.
God, what the
like
hell?
There's all sorts of weird things.
And
this guy.
It's like neo-Spanish revival. It's
yep.
a really, really weird
That's
house.
An incredible house, and I'm absolutely really
Is
happy.
Is it for sale?
No, it's just in a Quirky Places Minnesota Facebook group.
Wow.
Just some guy
no,
like took
so
photos
can't
of
buy it.
It. Yeah. No, that's a great house. Anyway, sorry.
No, okay. No. So Turbo, very good. He's a parrot, though. He sits on shoulders.
Very much so.
What got you into cars, or who got you into cars?
Oh, well.
Maybe we'll start at the beginning with your name.
Yeah. I was kind of born into the car scene. So my dad was a very big gearhead when he was alive. He had an orange Firebird, and he had a Can-Am. Oops.
Oh, yeah. I pre-ran a picture of
Wait,
a Can-Am.
Yes. Oh, my God. I love the Can-Am because that is like the poster child of delinquent dad cars. Like this was designed
when I pulled it up. I said it was the milk and cigarettes car.
Yeah, no, this is the car for dad that goes out to get some smokes and never comes back.
My uncle and my dad both had matching ones.
Did either of them bail out on their family?
Nope.
Damn it.
They raced and they used to park their Can-Ams in the front yard, missing their garages because they would be too drunk.
Oh my God. That tracks with this.
Yeah, that's how Can-Am
That one
motor,
is a
sorry.
Red interior. My dad had a white one with a white interior. And the only reason why I know that is because when my mom and my dad were dating before they got married, they almost broke up because when my mom was getting ready in the car, he hit either the brakes or a bump, or she drops her lipstick, and it was a bright red lipstick, and it went all across the upholstery on the passenger side.
Bright white upholstery. Mm.
And it
love
was,
it.
And it was the 80s, so you can only imagine how pigmented that poor red lipstick was on that white upholstery.
Yes. Oh, that's awful.
Tested on all the animals to make sure it stuck.
And red number five. I think that was probably the testament of how much my dad cared more about my mom than his cars.
There's a third Can-Am hidden away back there.
I didn't even look in the background of this photo.
There's so many Can-Ams happening here.
This must be like a Can-Am show or something.
Well, he does have the vanity plate, Can-Am. So.
Yeah.
Damn it, that's cool.
But, right? Yeah.
Just
my,
loving
my
it.
My dad and my uncle, when they would get cars, they usually got them in pairs. So it was...
Hell yeah.
So they would get the Firebirds together. My dad had an orange one. My uncle had a white one. And he even had the white one up until... I think he only got recently got rid of it, like 2018.
Oh, wow.
And what year would that car have been?
It was 77. Okay. 1 year only.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I know. I can tell you all about these.
And
at the back end of Rancho, whenever a Can-Am comes up, like, we are all gung-ho about it because it's just like... It is the ultimate malaise muscle car. It's so freaking cool.
But now you see his taste in cars and why it led to him naming me what it was.
Which is this.
Yeah, the Brooklyn SV1, which is the only reason why is because he could never get it. He couldn't get it in time, and he couldn't get it overseas from Canada.
Okay.
So he was just like... And so he would peruse car magazines and for sales.
Oh, the classifieds. I remember those back in the 90s.
He would clip them out and put them in my backpack. Because kids didn't know what my name was.
What a lad.
And so I would actually wake up and there'd be like new clippings of like the latest listings of like it for $23,000, I think, was one.
Pricey.
I think it was a white one, though.
I'm trying to think of how I would, like, what I would name a kid that would be like, and like how I would do that like these
days.
Well,
there was a preface because my dad had to work within a certain parameter. So my mom's name is Cheryl, so we got a C here. And my sister, who was older than me by 6 years, was an A, and my mom wanted ABCs. So my dad had to pick a B name. Otherwise, I was going to become Elizabeth.
Oh, that'd be worse.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Hey, at least you have a cool KISS song named after you.
Beth?
Yes. They had a ballad called Beth.
It's one of my favorite songs.
Beth. It's a good song. It's a really good song, actually.
It was a single on one of their albums. Like, you flipped it over, and it was just Beth.
Oh, it's like the Laserdisc Turtle.
It was Detroit Rock City, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I think it was a B-side of Detroit Rock City.
Yeah.
But, oh, man, what would I name a car? Would I name somebody with a B after Bel Air?
Well, it doesn't have to be named after a car. I think that just happened to be something he was interested in, and he needed a B name to avoid Beth.
Yeah, because he didn't want that.
I see.
Because it was, again,
Burlum?
But no, like my mom was watching soap operas.
BOS. After the Steve Jobs' follow-up to Apple after he got fired from Apple.
I thought that was next.
He had Next, and then after Next, he had B Computers, which is...
Oh, BOS.
Plan B. And it is BE. And then the name of the operating system was BOS.
But the funny thing is that... Right.
Just damn it.
No, go ahead. I'm laughing at this joke, but I'm also trying to keep on track.
Bighorn. That's my name. Bighorn.
All right. So Ryan would have named you Bighorn. So.
Yep, Bighorn.
Lovely.
After the Isuzu.
Oof. I would have been bullied even worse. But the funny thing is that I later found this out. My dad's high school friend, best friend, named one of his daughters Portia.
I wonder where she worked.
And she works in corporate now. And I didn't find out until, like,
that's rough.
Within the last 3 years when he actually posted pictures of all of his kids. And one of them was named Portia. And I'm like, oh, you copied
Lexus.
My dad.
I'm sure there's another child out of wedlock named like Lexus or something. Or
Mercedes.
Oh, yeah. I got that joke a lot in college. Was like, whoa, did your dad like other cars too?
Wow.
Yeah.
No, my siblings all have normal names. Thank you.
Yeah.
So anyway, we went from the Can-Am to, I believe he went to, sorry, no, your mom went?
No, he. That was my mom's gift.
Okay.
Ooh, yeah.
So he gave her.
I almost bought several of these.
He went to the Nissan dealership and he actually got one that was just freshly converted to American.
Oh, it's a gray market car.
Yeah. It still had Saran wrap on it when he brought it home.
Cool.
Yeah, they're really cool. So the nickname for Altima was the four-door sports car because originally it was a four-door version of a Z car.
Maxima, right?
Yeah. Did I say Altima? Altima. Yeah, my bad. An Altima was a Stanza, fun fact.
Which Stanza's way better, though.
But the Altima was a trim level of the Stanza, and really? Then they dropped the name Stanza and just went with Altima.
That's yeah. cool. I did not know that.
There you go. But, these were originally the first generation of Maxima was rear-wheel drive. This is a second gen, and this has a VG30 E in it, and it is a extremely cool car. And the only reason I didn't buy the one that I was going to buy was white with a red leather interior. The AC didn't work, and the guy wouldn't budge on price.
What was he asking, if you don't mind me asking?
Absolutely reasonable price. It was like $3,000. Like, perfect condition, but he would not budge. And I'm like, dude, the AC doesn't work. Like, it's a comfortable car with no AC, and it's front-wheel drive. Like, I'm really jumping through a lot of hoops to make this happen.
And, like, let's be real. That right now, it's a very cool car, but, like, you don't have a huge, number of people, like, clamoring to go buy them. So, if you have
They are unaffordable now.
Great. Great. Yeah. Super.
I missed the boat.
Ah.
Well, anyway, carry on. Sorry.
But yeah, that was one of my dad's presents to her in the marriage. He got that when I was probably 4 or 5, because I was still in preschool. And she had that all the way up until 98.
And that's when this came in?
In a 96 color? Is when their anniversary happened, and he actually got the Eldorado for her. But
oh, you said it was a coupe, though. I pulled up a sedan. Crap.
Yeah, it's okay.
Sorry. And it wasn't a cool purple
color.
Whoa,
that's a Seville STS. That's different. You do need to bring up the Eldorado. It's a completely different car.
Yeah.
I think I actually searched Eldorado, so I'm not sure where that came up. But
it's
got the Landau top on it.
Try 94. The 94 was a lot easier to find photos of because that's when it released.
There we go. Yep, there we go.
Yeah, just that one right there. That's actually the purple in sunlight.
Yep.
Right, it turns bronze.
That was his car.
They are.
I did it right.
No, go back. Go back. No, I'm not accepting this. Right click. Open image in new tab. Click on that image. All right.
There. Whatever. Good enough.
Close enough. Now we can actually see it.
Gotta love JavaScript.
But yeah, no, that's actually a really cool looking car, and it had a North Star.
I was just about to ask if that had a North Star or a 4.5.
Not a good engine, but they sounded really cool.
Beat the shit out of that thing.
Yeah, it's a front-wheel drive North Star. Why wouldn't you?
Well, after my mom rejected it, because that was when they were starting to fight and get a divorce, that was his anniversary gift to her. And it even had a phone in it.
Ooh. And she said no.
To a car phone?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
She got her Lexus.
And
why?
Because at this point in time, you could get a SC400 for the same amount of money.
Well, I 100% would. I was just curious why, if there was like some reason why Alexis would have made a better gift than an Eldorado.
Well, because she previously had a Nissan, and you have way better fit and finish across the board, and a better, just a generally better engine.
The writing was on the wall for the marriage. I don't think it would have mattered if it was an Eldorado or Alexis. So a 1UZ couldn't have
saved it.
No.
Damn. But at least we got the right body style and color.
Yeah, but that was the color. It was amazing color because I've never seen an Eldorado like that after.
Yeah, no, they're very cool, and they were all put away wet, and they're all beat to hell, and they depreciated like insanely bad because they were bad.
Well, also, the second owners just didn't look at temperature gauges, so those are all gone.
Yeah, no, there's, like, none left. But they were also, when I say they were put away wet, like, you know how I had my Buick for, like, 3 days?
Sure do.
89?
Yep.
Every single Eldorado was driven that hard.
Mm-hmm. They were driven 3,800 hard, and they cannot handle that.
That was my sister's first car. She practiced driving in that. She rear-ended somebody in a Taco Bell drive-thru in that fucking thing.
That is impressive.
It was amazing to watch it happen because it was just slow because she wasn't paying attention and she just...
Well, so what I think is kind of cool about these is they follow the design language from the Cadillac Elante. Like a lot of people go, oh, the Cadillac Elante is just a flash in the paint, which it was. But if you look up a Cadillac Elante, well, think of that front end where you see the square headlights, grill, low sling hood.
So it's GM copying the Pininfarina design?
Yeah, well, they're kind of like evolving along with it because like, man, that sure looks like the same car, doesn't it?
I did the opening, but
that's just how it was.
All right.
But you can see, like, it's the same design language.
Yeah.
But so, Yeah, that card didn't come out of nowhere. That came from somewhere.
Was the Eldorado Coupe ridiculously expensive like the Elante was, too?
Yes. I don't actually, okay. They were all... Well, not as ridiculously expensive because it's made in America.
Sure. Was it shipped to Italy and then back?
No, it was not that bad. They're still, like, Lexus expensive. Like, you could get a lot better of a car for that amount of money.
Right. And I agree. Like, the SC was definitely the way to go, but, I mean...
Is that the Elante?
Yes. This isn't Elante. It's DigiDash, but...
I see. All right. Anyway.
Amazing. So many buttons.
Yes.
All right. Now, question number four, and it could be one that doesn't exist anymore, but what is your favorite car event in Minnesota, probably? You could say in general, if there's one outstate, too, that you actually do genuinely prefer.
Oh, my God.
Oh, putting you on the spot, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Least favorite?
Probably.
No easier? Okay.
No, I know. There's a least favorite, but it would be Tyler Christopherson's Cars and Coffee.
Oh, that's a terrible show.
Ampersand Coffee?
Yeah, Ampersand. And, like yeah, I went to them when they were at the Plex, and it was cool. But after a while, going to be baked in the parking lot and just being, like, sad about the turnout and just being like, why are we here?
You're talking about post here, right?
Post
when they were
here,
at like
post-plex.
Running Aces and
all of the other places.
No, they didn't do Running Aces. They did Canterbury, and then they did the Casino.
Mystic.
And now it's that downtown ramp. Yeah.
It's. I just. Tyler's the only person that ever said fast car slow and then wouldn't change his answer. And that kind of says everything I need to know about him. All right.
Agreed.
That's fair. So at least there's a least favorite.
Yep. If you think of a favorite one later, you can always interject, but no worries at all.
Well, I mean, I would technically have to say, like, any of the community events that we're running.
That's the correct
like
that. One. Yeah,
because,
those are the best,
like,
events, obviously.
We put so much effort into those freaking things that, like, there's so many months of prep, so many hours, so many late nights doing stuff.
Well, and events like the Mile, too. I'm sure you're planning not only this year's event, but the next one, too.
The Fest.
Oh, a car. Oh, my God.
Because we're doing all of the different
Fest
cities.
Rallies.
Yep.
Oh, boy. And that's not technically a car show, but yeah, the effort that goes into, like, vinyl packages, making sure people register, keeping track of all that
Dan
kind of
stuff. Dan
was
mentioning to me, he was in an investor meeting talking to somebody. He was like, why don't you do more event stuff? And I'm like, and I was like sitting there, I'm like, why concentrate on that? Quality of life. That's why.
Yeah.
Like,
we like sleep.
Yeah, I would like to have an app that makes money and is good and useful. And
but I have to be alive to take advantage of that.
Yeah. But, like, car shows are good and profitable. There's a lot of work. Like,
I would like to not do an event that's 2 days long and 4 hours of sleep.
Yeah, that'd be great. Anyway.
Maybe someday.
Someday.
If we're lucky.
All right. Well. Let's move on to some of our topics here.
God.
You're welcome to continue interjecting and telling us your opinions. I found a video game that is actually a rare thing where it's a car video game that is not awful.
Okay.
And actually, I think that this game, if this gets proper funding and is able to become like a full-fledged game, could be the future of open-world racing games. It's called Night Runners Prologue. And it's kind of like a love letter to, like, Tokyo Extreme Racer and, like, Need for Speed Underground. And
but it looks like it's done much more accurately.
Yes, it's extremely good. And they really got, like, they go a little hard on, like, the CRT sort of screen overlay thing and, like, the film grain aesthetic. You can turn most of it off, but not all of it, which is a little irksome.
Maybe
but
I'll
that's
just
fine.
Play it on a CRT.
Yeah, I think you're fine playing on a CRT. But also, what I played was a early access indie made demo. So
when you say indie made, it's not the, like, studio that's actually making.
No, this is the studio. They're like four people.
Okay.
And it's a demo. And it's an early access version of the demo.
Okay. So it's very bug free.
Yeah. Well, actually surprisingly bug free, but it runs extremely nicely. There's just quality of life things that are missing. Like, there's no yes or no. If you click quit game.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
So
you just quit.
Oh, okay. So no checks, no balances. Just you made your decision.
You made your decision. I'm like, shit, I mean, in the night. All right, whatever. Anyway, so Like, there's just, like, small things that are, like... But, like, also, I'm not going to judge that, because, like, this is just kind of, like, a proof of concept at this point.
Mm-hmm. It's also a passion project. It looks like they're just literally recreating nostalgia feeling.
Yes, but, like, the thing is that this game plays incredibly well. And
like, the physics is okay, too?
Yeah, the physics are great. It's not, like, overly realistic where it's not fun anymore.
Sure.
But it's also not so arcadey that you feel like you're playing Mario Kart with, like, a 240SX.
Get very upset when something happens that shouldn't.
And it's, like, it has, like, some sim things. Like, the thing is, like, you start out as, like, you're this, like, guy that goes to Japan. Like, your friend flies you out there so you can go street racing with him. All right, cool. That's, like, everybody's, like, kind of, like, fantasy.
Oh, yeah, it's the easiest way to get into the car culture, yeah. Right? Like, go with somebody that actually knows
it. Yeah, and so your friend gives you, like, I think... 800,000 yen to go to the auction and go buy a car. And so you go to the Japanese car auction to go buy a used car, and you're given a selection of cars. And what's great about it is the cars are, like, randomly generated, and it doesn't, like, some of them are very cheap and affordable, okay. And some are very expensive. Like, you cannot afford them. But what's really cool about it is that, like, there's, like, some of them will be damaged. I'll be like, hey, this one has low oil pressure. That's why it's very cheap. This one's very nice, but it's automatic. So it's a very realistic, going to the auction feeling.
I want
to
see the code that dictates all that.
It's really
in the
brilliant.
Game.
Like, well, it's so you basically just have, like, all the different cars, and then you have, like, kind of like an array of cars that are shown on the menu. I'm not going to tell you how the code works because that would be bad radio.
Well, that's fine. I'm not saying, like, I want to, like, let's do an audit right now. Let's compile
this
game.
Yes, I can tell you how to do this because I was...
Crack it open.
I actually, like, thought about doing something like this, but it is such a massive amount of work for, like, me, for, like, not doing programming is my job. I'm amateur programmer, and, like,
can you just get, like, a copy of the game with Ultimas in it, though, and then just have the adjusters for Ultima Challenge? Because I really want to have, like, oh, this is bumper damage.
Yeah,
this one's already dented.
So yeah,
low oil pressure still
one of my
thing.
Yeah, it's so. But the thing is, if this game actually, like, gets the proper funding to become a real game, like, this could absolutely unseat games like Forza and unseat, like, Need for Speed. And this could be the new, like, good racing game.
Especially
and I really
with the story
would like
mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the story is, like, really cool. And it turns out your friend owes a bunch of money to the Yakuza, so you're actually, like, you have to now race to, like, alleviate the debt because your friend went missing. And, like,
and you spent the money from the Yakuza,
The Yakuza's like, well, your friend just gave you $800,000, so you just assumed all of his debt, so he owes 5 million yen. So, yeah.
What a guy.
Yeah.
What a guy.
But anyway,
peak
so
anime subplot.
Yeah, it's actually it's really, really well done. There's a bunch of different kinds of racing. There's drag racing. There's point to point racing. There's time trials. It's all done in the Japanese freeway system.
Humor me. I know this looks like kind of the era mid early noughties.
Yes.
Does it have elements in it from when you played that are, like, harking back to, like, the old Midnight Racers?
Yeah.
Too. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
It's very good. Like, they absolutely nailed it, and it's like.
I'm giggling at the Satoshi finish because that's like a Pokemon reference.
Yeah, exactly. they don't go too over the top with the campiness of it, but, like, it is, like, definitely some camp. And, like, if you're a car enthusiast, you get a lot of the jokes. But if you're not in a car, it's like you also just enjoy it.
Right. You don't have to know the Easter eggs to enjoy it.
But, like, there's a lot of Easter eggs for car people. And this is clearly somebody that's into cars that made this. And I think that's just it's clearly, like, a project from somebody that cares.
Yeah.
And so this is an example, 5 billion of indie and double A games being better than triple A games. Like,
it's because of the content. Yeah. Cause like you load this, I'm like, sure.
This is literally, by the way, this is literally what the auction looked like. If you click.
Oh,
that
I saw you're talking about the CRT fuzz.
Yeah. So that's what the auction looks like. But if you look, since you're viewing it through your computer, you can only click next camera to go to the different camera views of the car.
Okay.
So you can't get, like, a great view of the car. You have to deal with the same garbage photos that you have, like, going through a Japanese.
Oh, so it's Craigslist.
It's
too,
extremely
yeah.
realistic. And the car is not like, yeah, the car's, like, on steelies and, like bald tires. Like, it's hilarious.
What was that website we talked about that it was, like, Carfax for Japanese auction cars?
Oh, CarVX, yeah.
That needs to be in your computer.
You have to be able to get a CarVX. That'd be so good.
A CarVX report would be
one of the things
there.
With it is, actually, I was looking at, like, going through some of the cars, and one of the things is number plate doesn't match car. Like things like so you can get like sketchy stolen cars. I did not get that one. I'm like, if there's a police mechanic, I could be turbo fucked with this car.
A police mechanic.
I could see a lot of people though getting this game and trying to recreate Initial D scenes.
Well, that's the thing, is like that's what they're they're eventually gonna add more than just the highway system. So there's a wharf, which is drifting.
Yep.
And so there's like a bunch of other things that they're adding in. It's just
honestly, you know,
this is a proof of concept.
That sounds pretty good, especially if I can play with Sim Gears.
Yeah, you can actually. Yeah, you can play with Sim. Yes, they do have a Kickstarter.
Oh, sweet.
So it's all through their Steam page. You can go find their Kickstarter link in there.
It's free to play already. Which
yeah, it's free
incredible.
To play. Yeah,
that's super
I would
cool.
absolutely recommend it. Night Runners Prologue. Very cool. Don't go in expecting a fully fleshed out game.
Yeah, it's a demo.
This is a demo.
Or AAA textures or anything like that. Just
no, the textures are quite good, actually. Okay. It the game looks great, and like the aesthetic is just like knocked it out of the park. Like, it is a perfect aesthetic. Another cool thing, the sound in the game is procedural, like the music. So if your car is stopped, there's no music. But as you drive faster, the music fills in more.
That's kind
and
of cool.
You would love the soundtrack. It's all like 90s, 2000s dance music.
Oh, yeah.
So it's very much like Underground, where it would like speed up and you would get different like
kind of
things
yeah.
like that, especially if the cops started chasing you.
Kind of like that, yeah.
Cool.
But it's just like, it's not like, you know, suspenseful Hollywood music. It's
like the super cheesy stuff.
It's the sort of music you'd actually listen to
hell
in
yeah.
a car. So very 10 out of 10 good.
I remember even in the early noughties, again, I come back to the same era where like vehicle speed specific sound levels became integrated into audio systems. Like, why was this not a feature 10 years ago?
Yeah. Because that's also a thing that's kind of implemented with this. It's very cool. So
like, I do like
Forza's storyline is bland. It's
Forza
like,
has a story mode?
In Horizon. Yeah, well it's frustrating because Forza they try to have a story mode, but they don't put enough work into it. Where it takes place in Mexico, and it's just like cultural appropriation fest.
Oh, great.
And then the one before that was Australia. Doing pretty much the same thing, but like you're destroying wildlife and doing races
it's a video game. You're going to do that.
Yeah, but like,
it's more like my issue is the dialogue, where it's like in Australia, they're like, crikey, that's a FJ-40. Look at this Brumby. There's a kangaroo.
Yep.
Did they at least give you the option to drive a land train?
No.
That's dumb.
But
I want to drive a land train.
The current one's in Mexico. And so like, which is fine because like they actually have like Mexican voice actors and they actually like make an attempt. But the thing is, like, it's just so cheesy where it's like, hey, amigo, friend, how's it going? Like,
hey, essay brother.
Yeah. Like, it's just like, like, why are you saying it like this? Like, yeah, dude.
It's not even Spanglish. It is.
You need to go up the Camino, the road.
Is this a Babbel Duolingo episode built into a game?
No, it's worse.
Speaking the parentheses without saying parentheses, the word parentheses.
Have you seen the episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm where Larry's getting forced to put this Latino lady into his TV show? Because he's being extorted by her.
God, no.
And so she's just like such a bad actress that she reads everything that's on the paper. And like, Larry enters the room. And then she's like fighting with her mom, but she's doing so seductively. And she's like, that doesn't say on the script, why are you doing that? Like, I thought I'd be more fun. Do you talk to your mom that way? No, you. Why would I do that? Like, it's just like, the worst possible.
I enter stage left.
Yeah, it's like the worst possible acting in Forza storylines. So this is thankfully they have no voice acting. They just have the storyline. It's great, good. If you can pay for good voice actors, do so. Don't try to do it yourself. There are community colleges that have great theater programs. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you can probably find a reasonable actor willing to do some voiceover work for very little money.
There is some good talent on YouTube.
Yeah, like, you don't have your... Like, how can Forza have this much money and fuck this up?
Easily.
Yeah.
Usually it's execs and managers and upper management that does not understand game mechanics and things like that.
And it really shows, and it's very frustrating. And so it's really bad when, like, Need for Speed, the last two Need for Speed entries have had better storylines than Forza.
Yep.
But like also like racing game storylines are just like unnecessarily bad. Like they can be good.
Which is saying something because Need for Speed had infamous storylines.
Terribly bad, but like it's better than Forza now. But like it's possible to have a good storyline like in a racing game where it's like you could have like, for instance, this one. Like, hey, your friend owed a bunch of money because he liked racing cars and
pissed off the wrong people.
Yeah, now he pissed off the wrong people and now he's skipped town and forgot to tell you that.
This is a bad friend.
Yeah, bad friend.
Bad friend.
Like, suffering with a gambling problem. That's what this. That's what you have. Yeah, and that's exactly
now
what...
Now you're in another country, so...
That's exactly what this is about. It's like, now you can't leave because they're like they're holding your passport and you can't literally cannot get out of the country.
Yeah. Being involved with gangs is fun, especially when you've intended to
so, like,
it.
This is actually a solid storyline, but, like, yeah, something like Forza like, could easily be, like, a good storyline where it's like, hey, we're expanding our festival to Mexico. Hey, let's go find some locals that are willing to help us out and find cool ways to explore the Mexican culture. Like, okay, cool. And then you could go like, hey, let's go to Tulum. Tulum's cool because we're in Quintana Roo. It's the state that's right below where Playa del Carmen is.
Great name.
Quintana Roo? Anyway, so it's just like we're near Tulum. Hey, let's go explore Tulum. That'd be kind of cool.
Wow,
like here's a time to drive the RSGR to Tulum, which is like totally not realistic. Like whatever. Like you like.
But did you
It? Hey, look at this. We found an indigenous Mayan farming commune. That's pretty cool. Let's go talk to them.
What if they've seen
this
a car
is
before?
Awesome. Yeah, well they have because it's the 21st century. But it's like you could have like a good storyline within Forza. Like right. It's not like it's impossible.
Like educate people too about culture. It'd be great.
Yeah, and that's like I see how Forza does that because like they have a whole storyline about what the Volkswagen Beetle means to Mexican people, which is super cool. Which is like they're called Vochos and
when Poland and the Fiat 126P.
You could do that, yeah. Oh. And so. Like, but they've done like a lot of different countries.
What
but
was the GTI it's Mark III?
That's Bosnia.
Bosnia.
Mark II. Sorry. But so like it's,
just remember that
it is possible to have like good race. Like I remember like Codemasters way back in the PlayStation 2. Mm-hmm. They had a racing game. I kept blanking on the name, but the storyline was you are literally a race car driver and you're working your way up the ladder of different racing series towards being a Le Mans racer.
That must have been before Sony bought that studio and
yeah, it was like right before that actually because it was for the PS2. But like you like your first race series was like BTCC like rookie amateur division and
you
then,
need
like,
your license.
Yeah,
well, can I not?
It was actually like, it's important. Pretty cool. Like it's possible. It's just that games like Night Runners are gonna have to do it, not Forza, because AA is where all the quality is right now in video games. So.
I think it has been for some time, too. I mean, the last game I played all the way through, I know I beat this into a pulp, but Stray. That's not a AAA title.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's like Larian with Baldur's Gate 3. Like, they're very much so AA, and they kicked the shit out of every single other studio in the world last year with Baldur's Gate. And everybody's like, we can't do that. And Larian's like, yeah, you probably can't, because you don't have the quality team to do that. Right. And you're more concerned about making money than you are about making a good product.
Well, a lot of those AAA studios are constantly dealing with the people that they've hired or inherited that turn just completely south and ton of PR issues, spending all that money trying to save face.
Well, yeah, from an executive level.
From an executive level.
But like the thing is like that executive levels, it was like that.
It's always going to be like that.
Yeah, that's just how executives are.
Yeah.
But and that's like, but when you have like a AAA studio, you just get more executives mm-hmm. and more money. Like every now and then you'll get lucky where you'll have like a AAA studio that is like a developer, like Epic Games, where, you know, Fortnite isn't good, but Epic's money from Fortnite allows them to work with other studios. Like they have the Mega Grant for Unreal Engine, where any person can make a game in Unreal Engine, apply for the Mega Grant. If it's good, they'll give you like a big bag of money.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah,
I was thinking more of Bungie back before the recent exec did some stupid decisions.
Well, Bungie's like they do more of their development thing, not the development, but the actual like
pre Microsoft acquire.
Yeah, but I like so he's like. Team 14, they've been around since forever. Like, literally, I have a Commodore game that was made by Team 14.
I'm sure I've seen it before, but...
Team 14 is the brand that they are a producer, and they made Hell Let Loose.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. They also made golf with your friends.
Oh, amazing.
Like, oh, yeah. That dumpster fire that just keeps on giving on the internet.
The drunk I now hate my friends simulator.
Yep. So, where everyone's peeking their mics because they're swearing.
Yeah. So Team 14, they make like actually very good games. So they just, all they do is they just get out of everybody's way. And they've been very quiet because Team 14 is like they're as old as Activision.
Oh my God.
But they are much more consistent in quality. Like Activision, yeah, they make more money right now, but like Activision isn't going to be around forever.
No,
like,
their turnover rate's way too
high.
Yeah,
and they cannot keep quality employees. Whereas like at Team 14, like you actually have had consistent quality. It, like Team 14 is like the continuation of like how Sierra Online was in the
80s. Oh my God.
Like they're just forever good. And it's because they're AA. They didn't want to go AAA. They never will, and they're happy where they are, and they're quietly make a shitload of money.
Yep.
And everybody's going to be happy, and they're not going to be publicly traded.
Because they've turned down executives.
Yeah, it's exactly that.
I feel like that's probably pivotal in that decision. So, anyway. Oh, jeez. I don't mean to bring us out of video games into cars, but I do need to tell you that the Microlino is actually coming to the States.
What?
It will not be called the Microlino.
That's fine.
But we are getting it.
And
it's going to be marketed as, and I wrote this down here. Oh, no, I didn't. Damn it. It's going to be marketed basically as a motorcycle. So it will be even less oppressive in registering all this kind of crap. So
hell yeah.
They are going to limit the top speed to 28 miles an hour. Okay, but
that's fine.
Yep.
So how easy is that, is that to remove?
I assume there's a do not cut here wire because it is the same product that is sold in Italy.
Yep, it's a do not cut here wire.
Okay. And that also should mean that since it doesn't have to comply with all these safety regs, it'll
it's
be
just
cheap
gonna
still.
Be the European normal yes. car. And good.
Look how adorable it is.
I genuinely believe that we should
look
have
at this little guy.
Like I genuinely believe this is a classic car. It should just exist in the United States. Mm-hmm. Like you should have a car where it's like it cannot go on the highway. Like but you also don't need a full car driver's license to have it, and it's a hell of a lot cheaper, and you can just have it for the inner city.
What if I were to tell you that class of vehicle already exists in a bad way with the golf cart?
Yeah.
There are entire cities that are golf cart only in this country already. This is just a better golf cart, so why not take advantage?
Yeah, you need something that's above.
It's an all-seasons golf cart.
Above a golf cart, yeah.
But, I mean, just you could use the same legislation that the imbeciles...
Yes.
Who mod those things and spend $30,000 on them to just have a better life with a Microlino.
Can you slap the... So in...
hopefully that was quiet enough.
Prior to World War II,
this
is actually a regularly used class of vehicle.
Please, elaborate.
So the Velocicycles are one of the names for it.
yeah, I've seen Jurassic Park before.
Cycles. So
I know. I'm
Velocycles,
making,
I should
fairy.
Say.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, Velocycles. But,
which
oh my God,
means...
what is the other name for the car?
Well, I do remember in like the Britain, right? Because like they had the Reliant Robin, things like that, where the miners, essentially, the really impoverished masses that did all the industry in that country, couldn't afford cars.
Yes.
So they had it cheapened. In France now, remind me what the young people that have to drive those speed.
Voiturettes or something.
That's what it was. Yeah,
that's what it is.
So, I mean, yeah, I agree with you. Something like that is effectively what this is.
I'm totally blanking on the name, but like I absolutely know what these are called. I think about them on a regular basis because like they're all my favorite weird little cars. But like they had like sports cars and stuff. I mean, they were like motorcycles but with four wheels. They're four-wheeled motorcycle cars.
Okay.
Brilliant. Yeah. That's all we need is like, yeah, you don't need your mom truck to drive yourself and like maybe a friend to the bar or to Target. Like you need something that's a Microlino.
Yeah.
Like
or that's, in the winter when you really don't want to go outside and you just,
yeah,
just hop
you just
in
need
that.
A tiny little a thing that's got a heater. Like
yep.
That's what
and
you need.
Very narrow tires, which are great in the snow.
Yes. It's exactly that. Like there's a
not to mention how many more of these you can street park in an area where these are actually relevant, even in speed restricted zones. Like how much of your day to day errands could you do in a vehicle that could do 28 miles an hour? All of them.
Yeah. No, I could, and that's the thing is like, even if it went like 40, that'd be perfect.
Right, I agree.
But at that point, 40 miles an hour is like getting to a point where you're like, actually eating into real car sales.
Well, and safety might actually become a concern if you're traveling more than 30 miles an hour, which I get. And I know there's legislation. How this is getting away with it is basically a 49cc is not allowed to do more than 28 miles per hour. So I'm not even sure if you need to insure this. Because it's electric and it can't do more than 28 miles an hour.
I think you do.
I personally would.
But I think requirements is, I think you do, but it's like extremely cheap. Cycle car. That's what the cycle term is called.
I gotcha.
Yes, cycle car. I had to look it up. Amilcar is a brand of cycle car from the 1920s and 30s. They only went defunct after Germany invaded.
Thanks, Germany.
Yep. But
yeah, they're good at that.
Amel cars are really cool. They made like, if you look up like, let's see here.
Let me close some of these other tabs.
Just like Google Amel car CC. Or Amel car CGSS.
A-M-E-L?
A-M-I-L.
Amel car CC.
Or CGSS.
CGSS.
No, CGSS. Sorry, yeah, yeah. That worked actually, okay, right there. Cool. Right okay. there. That's it.
Oh my God.
There's, yeah, but that's the thing. It's a sports car that's got a motorcycle engine. Like, that's exactly what we need is a modern version of that.
So the thumbnail made me think that this was some enormous fire truck chassis-based land racer.
No.
And then I click on it. It's clearly a very, very small car.
It's literally a motorcycle-powered sports car that's very small.
Why? Slow car, fast.
Yeah, exactly that. Like, it was a it wouldn't also qualify as like
baguette.
Yes, France was known for them because of how Paris is.
City. The use case then is still the same as it is now.
Yes, like it makes sense. And so you could get something that's like that, like today, and that would actually make a lot of sense. Like, so many people here love K cars because they're that. And, like, this is perfect for that. So I'm totally here for this.
9 kilowatts.
Do we have any idea for what the actual price will be?
Let's see if they speculate. I will say that is a 9 kilowatt peak output, which is about 18 horsepower, and it has a 5.5 kilowatt hour battery.
It said something about...
Something about per month. Scroll down. Scroll down.
Stop. Pricing starts.
Starts at...
So it looks like CHF. Leasing, 260, right?
So $169 a month for a lease. Hell yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. I get that. That's a little bit more expensive than a Mirage, but it's also a hell of a lot better in every way.
And this was later edited for the U.S. thing, which is when I dumped it in the notes. So I don't think we know on pricing yet, but...
But if it's like if it's below $200 a month, that's cheaper than my Fiat is, so I'd dig it.
Well, I don't think they're going to be lease specific either, but I mean, I would guess that this will be like, what, 10 grand maybe? Probably less.
Probably more.
I would think less.
More because you have to think of the shipping and then...
True, these are made
in
Turin.
America and everything.
But if they get away, again, without the safety regs, maybe we can skirt some of that.
Also, we don't have anything really sold in America below 20 grand. So if that's below 20 grand in any capacity, like, mm-hmm. that's kind of pretty well worth it.
And everything we've watched, I know Johnny has done segments, a lot of automotive journalists have, on the European Spec 1.
Yeah.
And they all adore the thing.
It's a perfect car.
It is a perfect car.
Yeah.
And look at the damn thing.
It's absolutely
fantastic. Look how
happy
these cars are.
Imagine being mad in that car.
I can't. I just cannot. I literally can't imagine
just blasting just very loud music and just watching it vibrate while I go forward.
Yeah, I would.
I would just fill it full of cats and go drive around.
I'd drive around listening to like Shania Twain.
Oh,
good time.
Yes.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Lifted Dually comes up next to you. Crank that. Don't impress me much.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I'm
about it.
See, no, I would just go straight to Eurotrash and just be like, just blasting bass at them.
I mean, I'm fine with that too. You could do Beady Bada Beady or something.
Yeah.
I like Don't Impress Me Much. That's good science. I just also have it stuck in my head.
Sorry in advance, but also that's one of my guilty songs. Like when that comes on, it's a banger. I'll crank it.
No, Shania Twain slaps. Yeah. I love every song.
Proud to Be a Woman was my anthem and like when I was a kid.
Feel Like a Woman, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, Feel Like a Woman.
I love your next topic so much. I didn't even look at it ahead of
time. So
I'm excited.
I was actually on the way back on I think Saturday of last week after I grabbed that jack from you.
Yeah,
I had to go to Jan's house and drop off her her chips, and after I dropped off your pasty.
Which thank you again, by the
way. Yeah, absolutely.
It's delicious.
Because I was getting the Cressida fixed up because I want my cars to work.
Admirable, something I should really try to mimic.
And so I was, as I said, I had enough money to like buy a Moto Compacto.
Mm-hmm.
I decided I'm actually going to get the van running first and buy a Moto Compacto in April because there's really no point in buying it now.
Well, Well, that's true.
Yeah, it's
other than just a minion. Yeah.
Yeah, no, trust me, I badly want one. Don't get me wrong.
I remember our conversation.
I'm gonna buy one in April because it'd make more sense then. Like, I have the money, it's fine. It's just I'd rather get the van running first. And like, I think this would be a good treat for like, hey, now your van's out, like, can be like not in the way of everything. So anyway,
plus the van rocks.
With my van, what I need to do, I just need to replace the engine mounts, which is fine. I have those. I've had those. I need to replace the coilovers because they're leaking terribly. Never buy H&R coilovers. They are absolute trash in every way.
Okay.
Noted. Like, I am surprised the quality is so poor on their coilovers compared to their springs.
Do they make ground control? I think they do, right?
I don't know. Ground control, I've never had a problem with.
I thought H&R made ground control.
Because the problem was the struts.
Okay.
The springs themselves are fine.
Sure.
Which is that's what H&R... sense, right?
Wonder where Excels they bought those from.
Yeah.
Wish.com.
So, yeah, I'm actually, funny enough, going with Godspeed Project from an XX coilovers because it just needs to be low and cheap.
Can you?
So, it's like.
Spring rates, I know, are kind of the biggest gripe I have with most coilovers.
Yes.
Are the springs like the same diameter on your existing H&Rs as they are on the Godspeed? Because the only issue I've had with like cheaper coilovers is the spring rates are too hard.
So that's the thing. Yeah, it actually is the exact same. So I could do the H&R front springs if it's too soft up front. I need the back to be a little bit stiffer, actually, which is actually why I went with Godspeed Racing.
That's a really good idea.
Because... yeah, and also, like, if it's going to blow and be shitty, like, it's whatever. I'd rather spend $700 on coilovers than $1,500 to have the same quality.
And again, cheap coilovers, they haven't been bad quality in a long time.
It's long-term reliability is the issue.
Sure.
And that's kind of what I was doing. And also, like, the H&R is, like, to be fair, I put, like, 100,000 miles on them, which is... But the thing is, like, they were never good. They were problematic from mile 10,000.
Sure.
And like this, it's not my daily driver by any means anymore. So it's like, I'm literally driving this to Cars and Coffee or Cars and Crafts. And then Cars Ampers or Cars and.
Cars and Coffee.
If that happens in the Twin Cities. And then like occasionally the show here or there.
Nor deny.
But like, you know, I'm not, it's not going to be like driving from like Bloomington to Minneapolis and back every day.
Right.
They're going to last a lot longer, I'm sure, I hope. But the thing is also...
I'm sure, I hope.
Yeah.
That's a whole half.
Also, during my wedding night, a bum decided to sleep in the van. And his way of getting in the van was to try and pick the lock using a garden trellis. And that resulted in a broken window. So that was very fucking annoying.
I remember those now. Yes, I was trying to forget.
Yeah, that's why I cut down my hobo tree. Because, like, they had that little tree that they'd always, like, hide under. I'm just like, you know what? This is gone forever. Fuck all of you people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put my little, like, noise alarm thing so it makes noise when there's a bum that's on my little back stoop.
Love it.
And then there's, like, lights and everything. Yeah. After last year, I'm, like, beyond pissed about that. So I had to go get a window. So I was looking on car-bart.com, and I saw Atlas Auto has two of my vans with right... rear windows.
Hell yeah.
Perfect. So I call them
up. Is that a pop-out?
No, it's just the roll-down window.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
So I call them up, and I'm like, hey, I just want to make sure you still have these vans, and they sell their windows. And he was like, yeah. Did you want to come by and pick it today, or did you want to wait for us to pick it for you? I'm like, is there a difference in price? He goes, no. They, for free, will have somebody pick your part for you. And they are in St. Paul. They are next to Ace Auto. That's four blocks north of the Capitol.
Do you just have to prepay to get them to pick it then? Or?
Yes.
Oh, that's
$45 bucks.
What?
For 40, a window that is dirt cheap.
The cheapest window in the world. And they picked it for me. That's great. Atlas Auto is the most goated, like, used car, like, junkyard in the world.
This sounds like a hidden gem.
I mean, I've bought...
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, Atlas Auto is, like, they're the best.
I bought an exhaust manifold for Gibbs' old Camry.
Yeah, from there.
Because I ended up, when she joined the family, I ended up having to work on her car. Anyway, long story short, somebody had ugga-dugged the downpipe onto this bad boy, and I did the oil pan on it. Wouldn't you know it, the studs immediately twisted out like butter.
Yep.
It was $17
all in. Yeah, they're so cheap, and they're so good.
For this perfect manifold with good studs on it. I could not believe
it. They also have a 2011 Ford Fusion 2.5 for $300
buddy.
With like 178 on it. I'm like, ooh. maybe I should pick that up too on there. But I'm like, I should be responsible.
One thing at a time. One thing at a time.
I'm going to be responsible. And because these engines are like, they're $500 all day long. It's $200 off, which is great. But I'm sure I can find another one for $300. So that's fine.
Like a U-pulled a car with body damage. Done.
Yeah. Well, it's also pre-pulled.
Oh, it's Atlas. Worth $100. That's true.
Atlas is like... it's cheaper and pre-pulled. Like, why am I not?
And yards like that, they don't tend to cut the harnesses. They don't have to because they understand.
It's all unplugged, and they even took the exhaust manifold off, and they put caps in the exhaust ports.
And usually they say it's a bare long engine, but they always come with like some accessories. They always come with the harness. They always come with injectors. It's so nice.
We were talking about this last episode where it's just like the ease of a Duratec swap is literally you just – stick on the 2-3 timing gear set, and then you have a party. And then if you really want to, you can reflash the factory computer.
And you can do it later, too. Like, okay.
Yeah, because like the factory engine, if I don't go with like some crazy set of cams, will run just fine on the factory fuel maps. Like, I don't have to do any electronics work. It just bolts in.
Oh, that's nice.
It's very, very nice, yeah. So I'm like, ooh, this is like a pretty great junkyard. So yeah, if you're in the Twin Cities, you're looking for parts for like a later model car. The only thing that sucks is like their oldest car is like from 2000. So it's just newer cars, but it's 2024. We're a quarter of the way through the decade.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we're in a good spot for not having 90s cars. Like,
we're very much in that spot where what I picture a 20-year-old car being, what a 20-year-old car
is. Exactly. I get it. Very different. So a 20-year-old car is my van.
Just because I happen to have a bunch of 30- and 40-year-old crap doesn't mean that's what parts sells.
Also, I wouldn't expect a tiny junkyard in St. Paul to have that. But
correct.
I also looked. They also have several Trailblazers.
Oh, I should look and see if they have...
For a 4200 swap.
Oh, yeah. LL8s. Bumps chest.
Yep.
I'm actually probably going to do a U-pull run pretty soon because I need a couple like just weird little stock parts for the ZHP.
Well, tell me where you're going. I'll go with you because I want to, at the very least, if I don't do the full 2.5 swap, I want to at least get a valve cover from a 2.5 because it was designed to not have a valve cover. And the 2.3 valve cover is disgusting looking.
Oh, great.
It's got like little ribs like across it and
so
everything.
Yours was like engineered with like a plastic
really annoying engine cover on it that I hate removing to like access things. And it's
weird hard plastic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just not good.
I bet it makes a great noise when you rub your fingernail on it.
Yep. It's the noise you're imagining. It's not good. But yeah, so Atlas Auto, two thumbs way up. All right, anyway.
I think we should move the rest of the topics actually to our next episode if you're okay with that, because it has been over an hour.
Yes, absolutely. I think we should do that. I did one, you did one. Yes, okay.
I think that lines up, actually. So
perfect. So we are good to go. All right.
We'll see you next time. Next week, listeners. Thank you.
Bye. Thanks for coming, Brooklyn.
Thanks.